In 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 8, "But I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries." For just a few minutes this morning, I want us to talk about some great doors. Before we get into the lesson, I want to add my appreciation for everyone being here this morning. It's good to be able to come together with a group of Christians to worship our Heavenly Father as He has instructed us to do. We need to be mindful of those that are not here this morning, especially Sister Pat, and pray for her as she grieves the loss of her mother. When we talk about a door, we understand what a door is. A door is a means of entrance. If you want to come into this building, you have to come in through a door. You want to get into your car to go home, the easiest way is to go in through a door. You think about structures in the Bible. The ark, it had a door. You wanted to get into the ark, it had a door. It was a way of entrance. You think about the church. Jesus is the door. And here in 1 Corinthians, Paul uses door in a figurative sense to indicate that an opportunity was afforded to him for preaching the gospel. A door is that through which entrance is gained. We gain entrance through a door. John said that he saw a door in heaven in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1. "After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet, speaking with me, saying, Come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne." This is the door that we want to enter, this door that will take us into heaven. Peter talks about this also, and he adds more to this and uses a little different language. But in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 4, "By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied." An entrance will be supplied. That's the door. "For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." How are we going to get into this entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? By doing these things that he mentions in the preceding verses. Escaping the corruption that is in the world through lust, and then adding to our faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and he goes right on down the list. These things are used as a way of gaining entrance. We must pass through this entrance with these things to get into this everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But before we can get entrance into this kingdom, we've got to start somewhere. Where do we start? We aren't just automatically put into this kingdom. Where do we start? We start with a door of instruction. Everybody must go through this door of instruction. The Jews, they were born into a covenant without knowledge. They were Jews by birth. They were Israelites by birth. We are not Christians by physical birth. We have to be taught, and then we are born. We have to gain knowledge, and then we can become Christians in the kingdom. You think about Timothy, and sometimes we use him as an example of a young man. His mother Eunice taught him. His grandmother Lois taught him. And we hold that up as an example, and it's a good example. Well, was that unusual for Lois and Eunice to teach their grandson? Was that unusual? I hope you're shaking your head no. How do we know that? It just so happens that was part of our memory work this morning, back in Deuteronomy chapter 6, that they were to teach the children. Teach the children, instruct them. We have this door of instruction. When we get to the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 31, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more." They were going to be taught. All men were going to be taught. They were going to have to go through this door of instruction. Jesus taught that no man can come to him without being taught. Hebrews 8:8. John 6:44 and 45, the prophet said, "They shall all be taught by God." And Christ said, and it's significant in John 17:17, that they were sanctified by truth. They had to be taught the truth. So again, we have this door of instruction. And because of this, we can appreciate better some of the passages which emphasize preaching the word. Matthew 28:19-20, the Great Commission. We are to teach, we are to instruct. Again, it's repeated in Mark 16:15-16. 2 Timothy 4:1-5, we've looked at that recently on Sunday evening. What did Paul tell Timothy? Preach the word, preach the word. We have to instruct people. People, this is the first door that people have to go through, is this door of instruction. And then when we teach them, we can appreciate passages which give power to the word. Romans 1:16, 1 Peter 1:25, 1 Corinthians 1:21, Romans 10:13-14, James 1:21. So they have to pass through this door of instruction. After they go through this door, then the next door opens. The next door is not going to open till they go through this one first. What is that? That's a door of salvation. Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus offers this universal invitation. Come to me, all who labor. Come to me, whosoever will. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Friends, we are all burdened and laden. Take my yoke on me and learn from me. I am gentle and lowly in heart. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Is it easy being a Christian? No, it's not easy. And we learn that we are even to die for Christ. So what's he talking about? My yoke is easy and my burden is light. These are comparative terms. His yoke is easy and it's light compared to what? The weight of sin, the burden of sin. You come to me, I'll offer you salvation. My yoke is easy. Satan, he wants you to think that his yoke is easy and his burden is light, but it's going to cost you your soul. Again, you can have anything you want in this world, but if you have anything you want, it's going to cost you your soul. So there's this door of salvation. And only those who have been taught can accept this salvation. And to accept it is to obey it. And when we talk about obeying it, we understand that we have to believe the gospel. We have to repent of our sins, Acts 17:30. We have to repent or perish. We confess Christ, Romans 10:10, and as we looked at in Philippians chapter 2 this morning, we have to be baptized. Again, back to the previous point, Mark 16, 15, 16, the importance of instructing people. And then that puts us into Christ, Romans 6:3. And in Christ is where salvation is found. So we go through the door of instruction. We go through this door of salvation, and then what? There's another door we go through, a door of service. A lot of people don't like this door. Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So we have to go through this door of service. We have to serve as God has instructed us to serve. We have to serve as Christ has instructed us to serve. There are so many people out there in the world, they believe that they are serving God. They will talk about all their ministries they have. How can we serve you? Best way to serve you and be pleasing to God is to find out what God tells us to do. Service. When we render service as God describes, it glorifies God. Plain and simple. If we render service not described by God, it dishonors him because we are not honoring our Father. As a Christian, we are a vessel unto honor, sanctified. We're set apart for the Master's use. Prepared for every good work, 2 Timothy 2:21. If we make our calling and election sure, we have to perform faithful service, 2 Peter 1:4 through 11. This door, again, people want to pick and choose what they think of as service. Matthew chapter 25 is one of the places where there's a list of things, six categories of service that Christ gives us as criteria for entrance into the kingdom. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. And this is just a partial list. But this is a list of things where we are to serve. And when you think about this, a lot of people will make excuses why they don't want to do this. I'm too busy. They don't even think about it. And then when you think about, as we were talking about Christ in class, well, this is beneath me. You mean you want me to go and do this? You want me to go and do that? Let somebody else do that. Some people think, well, that's what the church is for. I give my money to the church so the church can do that. Friends, the church isn't a social organization to funnel money through and take care of all the needs in the world. And again, this is a list at the judgment scene that we are going to be judged by. And how do we perform these things? We do them individually. It's one-on-one. It's one-on-one. We aren't going to be judged by as a group, as a family, as a congregation, but individually, and how we react to people that we meet. Well, when we go through these doors, the door of instruction, the door of salvation, the door of service, and that door of service stays open as long as we are alive, then we have the opportunity to go through a door to heaven. Revelation 22:14. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. This is the door that we want to go through, but we have to go through those other doors first. There are no shortcuts to heaven. You can't miss the door of instruction. You can't miss the door of service. You have to go through each one of them before the next one opens, before we can go to heaven. Those who do his commandments have a right to enter. How about those that don't do his commandments? They are not going to go to heaven. As loving as God is, his character will not allow them to enter in through that door. But Jesus tells us that our hearts do not need to be troubled because he has gone to prepare a place for us. Then he tells us in the next chapter in John about bearing fruit. Again, that's that door of service. So a door to heaven, those who do his commandments have a right to enter in. Those who will not will be turned away, John 6:37. And again, we do not need to be worried about this because he has revealed everything to us of what we need to do. So a great door has been opened. A great door has been opened for each one of us. We have the door of instruction. And you think about how fortunate we are, how many generations of people, how many billions of people have lived that never had a copy of God's Word. And we have them abundantly. I imagine most of us have multiple Bibles. Different Bibles in different rooms at home and in the car. But then we need to read those. We need to learn God's instructions. But we cannot be saved. We cannot get into that kingdom like the Israelites that were physically born into it. We have to be taught, and then he wants us to go and teach others. That opens the door to salvation. Our past sins are forgiven. We are reconciled. We are born into that family. What are we born into that family to do? The door of service opens. That's why the church is called a vineyard. That's a place of activity, a place of work, where we go out and serve. And then that door to heaven is going to open after we have worked in the vineyard. There is one other door to mention, and that's the door of our heart. In Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." See, Christ wants to come in. He wants to have a relationship with us. He wants us to have a relationship with him. He's not going to force himself in. He's, again, this is a figure of speech, just like Paul was using. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door," we willingly open. We do that, he'll come in and dine with him and he with me. "He who, to him that overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." These are great doors securing our eternal salvation. Don't you want to go through these doors? A lot of people just want to skip ahead to that last one, the door to heaven. But we have to go through the others first. We also notice with some of the doors that we read about in the Bible, mentioning the ark, what happened when the flood came? What did God do? God closed that door. It was open for a season, but when judgment came, they couldn't do anything to change their situation. God closed that door. The parable of the foolish virgins, the door was shut. They could not enter into the wedding feast. We have to go through these doors while we have the opportunity. I put this lesson together in hopes that some of Pat's family would be here today, since they are not members of the church. But I think it's a good, simple lesson that we can all use in sharing the gospel with others. It's just we understand, again, the physical things. We make the spiritual applications. So how about you? How about me? Have we been instructed? Have we accepted those instructions? Have we been baptized? Have we gone through that door for salvation? Have we gone through the door for service? Are we serving God every day with fear and trembling, looking for the opportunities to serve him, recognizing that he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and every knee is going to bow before him, every tongue is going to confess him? And he's done everything. He's done everything for us to enable us to live with him and pass through that door to go into heaven. Everything. He did everything that we couldn't do. We couldn't offer ourselves as a blood atonement because we weren't perfect. He came and died in our stead. And we owe him everything. We owe him everything every day. Friends, if there's anyone here this morning that needs to be obedient to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.